Hello, I'm Aaron Lohr.
And I'm Caitlin Andrzejczyk.
And this is the Endocrine News Podcast. Thank you for downloading this podcast, a free service of the Endocrine Society. June is Men's Health Month. So, in this episode, we look at the connections between semen quality, reproductive function, and general male health. We speak with Alberto Ferlin, Associate Professor of Endocrinology at the University of Brescia in Italy. He and his colleagues worked with more than 5,000 men who were part of infertile couples. They looked at these men's sperm counts and the relationship with hypogonadism, high blood pressure, high body mass index, problematic cholesterol, and metabolic syndrome. Dr. Ferlin presented the findings at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting. Also, Caitlin will tell us about the latest research update, and she will ask our trivia question. Stay tuned.
First, our research update. Go to www.endocrine.org/podcast to learn more about men's health. There you will find this episode and a link to our most recent thematic issue, which also is on men's health. In this curated collection of 16 papers, we include clinical articles on androgen deprivation therapy in men with prostate cancer, a retrospective analysis of testosterone administration in female-to-male transgender patients, a report of increased fractures in men with anemia, and much more. Basic Science articles include comprehensive reviews of two important sex hormones, and a study that suggests that some male-specific metabolic and reproductive disturbances result from paternal obesity. This online collection also contains papers that focus on the health of aging men, including an examination of reproductive hormone levels as a marker of frailty, and a report on the association between metabolic syndrome, testosterone, and mortality. Finally, a couple of articles identify critical gaps in research devoted to sex differences and highlight the need for continued research in this area. All the articles in this collection are free to download. Since we are learning about semen quality and reproductive function as markers of general male health, I thought that a good trivia question for our listeners would be, what else is in semen besides sperm? I will have the answer for you after the interview.
And now, our talk with Alberto Ferlin, Associate Professor of Endocrinology at the University of Brescia in Italy. Dr. Ferlin presented findings from his cohort study on men's health at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting in Chicago, and we spoke with him there.
Your endo presentation is titled Semen Quality and Reproductive Function as Markers of General Health, a prospective cohort study on 5,177 men. This is such a compelling topic and perhaps surprising for some. We know low sperm count is a problem for fertility, but your study suggests it could say a lot about a man's general health. Why is sperm count so important?
Oh, this study analyzed well in details why or if sperm count could be a marker of a general man's health, because there had been previously some publications suggesting that infertility, male infertility, or in particular poor semen quality, in particular low sperm number, could be associated with some other metabolic or cardiovascular risk factors. And importantly, there are two or three papers, longitudinal studies, both from Europe and USA, showing that infertile men may have an increased mortality, especially for cardiovascular disease and metabolic alterations like diabetes. So all these studies suggested this correlation between infertility or between low sperm count and cardiovascular or cardiometabolic alteration, but the data were not complete or conclusive. So we put on these prospective studies in Italy with a very large number of patients. These patients are partners of infertile couples. And you know, infertility is a clinical condition only defined by the absence of pregnancy after 1 year of unprotected intercourse. So it's sometimes quite difficult to have a clear definition. But these more than 5,000 men we studied were partners of infertile couples. And we performed a lot of tests and analysis other than semen analysis to understand whether sperm count and in general reproductive function of a man could be a marker of his general health.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the design of your study and specifically what did you measure in this large population and what did that data begin to tell you?
Yeah, we started from more than 1,000 infertile patients who came to our university department for semen analysis to understand why they were infertile. And then we selected patients who had a complete analysis involving other than history and general physical examination. We have reproductive hormone determination and testis ultrasound, semen culture to show possible infection, and biochemical determination for lipid and glucose metabolism. And if men were found to be oligospermic, that means with a total sperm count below 39 million per ejaculate, that is the normal reference value determined by the WHO. If these men were oligospermic, we performed also genetic analysis, in particular karyotype analysis, Y chromosome microdeletion, and cystic fibrosis mutation. These are the genetic analyses commonly suggested from guidelines in severely infertile patients. And furthermore, if patients were diagnosed with hypogonadism, in particular hypogonadism with low testosterone and or elevated LH, so the so-called subclinical hypogonadism, we perform also this DEXA scan of the bone to have bone mineral density and bone mineral content to detect possible osteoporosis or osteopenia, so low bone mass. So it's these 5,000 patients were really evaluated completely for their reproductive function and for possible other cardiovascular or metabolic risk factors and for bone health.
So let's talk a little bit about hypogonadism. So I know that you looked at it and it plays a significant role in the relationship between low sperm count and general health. If you took hypogonadism away, does the low sperm count still show some of these risks that you're mentioning?
Hypogonadism is well studied in older patients, the so-called late onset hypogonadism, but and in these older patients, older population, we know that hypogonadism is associated with poorer metabolic parameters, with obesity and diabetes, with osteoporosis and so on. So it is quite clear the association between low testosterone and all these metabolic and bone alterations in older people. But what we didn't know if this association could be also present in younger men, because you understand this population is about 30 years old because they are in reproductive age. They are not 17 or 70 or 80 years old. So we defined three types of hypogonadism that are the current diagnosis. So primary hypogonadism caused by a testicular insufficiency with low testosterone and elevated LH, or secondary hypogonadism caused of a pituitary problem with low testosterone and low LH. And the other form is the so-called subclinical hypogonadism, represented by testosterone levels that are still in the normal range, but with elevated LH, that is a sign that testis is not completely normally functioning. So in this population, we have in total a very high prevalence of hypogonadism when patients have low sperm count. In general, we have 45% of men with low sperm count with some kind of hypogonadism, when compared to 6% of men with normal sperm count. And so at the end, the statistical analysis showed that the odds ratio for hypogonadism for any kind of hypogonadism in men with low sperm count is about 12. So it's a very high risk for these patients.
Can you tell us a little bit about the current treatment options for men who are experiencing hypogonadism?
We have to consider, first of all, one thing, that current therapy for hypogonadism include testosterone replacement. But here we have men with infertility. And you know that if we have testosterone supplementation, we suppress spermatogenesis. So if we have older men with hypogonadism, the treatment of choice and the old guidelines suggested to treat with testosterone. There are different formulations, but the aim is to restore the testosterone plasma level so that we can avoid all the consequences of low testosterone. But here, we cannot treat with testosterone these patients, because if we treat with testosterone, so we suppress spermatogenesis. So, in men with hypogonadism who search fertility, we have to treat with LH or HCG. But this is possible only in the form of secondary hypogonadism, so when LH is low, not when there is a primary hypogonadism or a subclinical hypogonadism, so when LH is already high. So we cannot treat this man with LH, and we cannot restore testosterone levels, plasma levels. So in these patients looking for fertility, we must first try to have a child in with other medical treatment or assisted reproduction. And after that, we can supplement with testosterone to replace testosterone plasma level.
So let me ask you this. I think when a lot of people think of low sperm count, one of the first things they're going to think about is fertility and, you know, what does this mean for my ability to, you know, have a child? Your study points that there's maybe more to be concerned about if you have a low sperm count. How aware do you think healthcare providers are that low sperm count means as much as it does based on what we've seen in your study? Do they know this?
It's quite different between different countries and different specialists who see the infertile patients. Because, you know, endocrinologists are used to see completely a man, but this is, for example, different for urologists that only look for fertility, only look at semen analysis, and only look to have a child, probably by assisted reproduction techniques. So general practitioner and endocrinologist are more used to have a comprehensive evaluation of an infertile patient. Here we show that we should look not only at the fertility potential, eventually with reproductive hormone, ultrasound scanning of the testes and so on, but also other metabolic parameters related to glucose and lipid metabolism. For example, we found that men with low sperm count have greater body mass index and waist circumference. They also have higher systolic blood pressure and higher LDL and lower HDL cholesterol, higher triglycerides. So they have composite expression of the so-called metabolic syndrome. So this is important from a practical point of view, because we should be reminded that infertility could be, in fact, a general manifestation of the general health of an individual. And if you try to think in the evolutionary mode, you can understand that if you want to be father, you have to be in good general condition.
Do you believe that general practitioners, general physicians, should be talking to their male patients about looking into sperm quality, sperm count, as a general biomarker of their overall health?
Yes, I think so. There is one important thing to say, that semen analysis is varying during time, and if you perform 2, 3, 5, 10 semen analysis, you always find something different, because semen parameters are not so static, but they are dynamic during the life, during the day. And the other thing is that the laboratory who perform semen analysis not always are so qualified to have very good semen analysis. So it could be fantastic if we could screen all the men with the semen analysis, and then we could say, okay, you have probably other possible problems, or you are in good general condition. This is not applicable today, and so it is difficult to have such a screening. Indeed, in our region, in Italy, there is such a screening program for boys or for men at about 18, 20 years old. So on a voluntary basis, they perform a semen analysis. And we have data of, I think, 20,000 boys. We use this data because if we find low sperm count or other sperm parameter alterations, we could perform other analysis and have a more detailed information about the general health of this man. But I can understand it is difficult to propose and to have a large screening based on this particular exam.
Well, we want to thank you so much for sharing your research with us, Dr. Ferlin. This has been very interesting and very illuminating.
Thank you to you.
Earlier in this episode, for our trivia question, I asked, what else is in semen besides sperm? Semen, or seminal fluid, is a complex mixture of components that provide a protective medium for sperm as it travels through the female reproductive tract on its way to fertilize an egg. In addition to containing spermatozoa, semen is composed of secretions that contain amino acids, citric acid, proteolytic enzymes, and sugars, including fructose. It also contains phosphorylcholine, prostaglandins, and minerals, including potassium and zinc. As we learned in the interview with Dr. Ferlin, semen is not only important for reproduction, it can also provide a powerful snapshot into a man's overall health.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for listening to the Endocrine News Podcast. To learn more, visit www.endocrine.org/podcast. There, you can find this episode and some helpful links. We are excited to share with you a lot of great topics, but we also want to know what matters to you. What would you like to hear about on the podcast? Send us your thoughts at podcast@endocrine.org. You can subscribe to Endocrine News Podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening.
Endocrine News Podcasts are a free service of the Endocrine Society. To learn more or to become a member, visit the Society's website at www.endocrine.org.